T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up this hour, the latest on the David Ortiz situation. Never a dull moment. Wait till you hear some of the nicknames of the hit men and hit women involved in this. Seriously, this is like the movie Savages. It's insane. That's coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. Also later on in the hour, we've got your best audio of the day, including Nick Van Exel discovering coffee.
Oh, okay.
Nick Van Exel had never seen an iced coffee in his life. Had it, and his entire world came unglued.
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's coming up in soundcheck. So now, the Boston Celtics look like they're about to lose Kyrie Irving, not surprisingly. And now, the race for Anthony Davis heats up, not surprisingly. But for the last calendar year, it has felt like if AD is going to go anywhere, it's going to be Los Angeles for the Lakers, because the Lakers have wanted him more desperately, seemingly, than anybody else, attempted to trade for him at the deadline. That obviously fell through, never happened, likely because the Pelicans didn't really want to trade him at that time. And now have even another asset to add, the number 4 pick overall in the upcoming NBA draft. Now, the Celtics and Danny Ainge have been very open about their hope to trade for AD. I think Danny Ainge has been pretty clear about his intention here. Collect assets for when Anthony Davis becomes a free agent. Because the Celtics have a competitive disadvantage in signing Tier A free agents. Pick your reason. I'm not sure of them because I'm not Kevin Durant. I'm not Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, or other high-end free agents that have bypassed the Celtics before. But for whatever reason, the highest-end free agents have not wanted to go to Boston. Perhaps it's the scrutiny, perhaps it's the fishbowl, perhaps it's the intensity, perhaps it's history of racism, perhaps it's the weather, perhaps it's not an enormous media market, even though it's a huge market, it's not L.A., New York, Chicago, whatever it is, perhaps it's taxes, whatever that thing is, the Celtics have been at a competitive disadvantage in trying to lure the Tier A free agents. And so this offseason, have we connected the Celtics to Kevin Durant? No. To Kawhi Leonard? No. To Jimmy Butler? No. To Kemba Walker? Tobias Harris? Chris Middleton? No, 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 no. We have not heard anybody connect the dots between the Celtics and anybody. Tier A. Now, granted, they have limited ability to bring in a Tier A max guy because they've got Gordon Hayward, they've got Al Horford on the books. But if they wanted to, they could clear, and they don't want to. That's not what they want to do, because Danny Ainge realizes he's not going to get Anthony Davis in free agency. It's not going to happen. And he's going to lose Kyrie Irving in free agency. And the Celtics can offer Kyrie more than anybody else can. He needs to acquire guys either through trade or get tier B free agents like a Horford, like a Hayward to come. Which is why going all in for Anthony Davis has been such a Moby Dick thing for Danny Ainge. His white whale. He's got to get Anthony Davis because he can't sign Anthony Davis. So much so that a year ahead of time, Anthony Davis's agent is saying he's going to be a one-year rental in Boston. He doesn't want to sign there. He's going to become a free agent. Now, we just had Sean Devaney join us here on the show, NBA Insider, longtime NBA reporter, saying that the reason Ainge is still going after AD, even with Rich Paul saying he doesn't want to play in Boston, he's not going to re-sign there, even after AD's dad last year said he doesn't want to play in Boston, even though all signs point to him wanting to go to L.A., is the Kevin Garnett factor. And KG famously did not want to go to Boston. He did not want to get traded and finally acquiesced. And Ray Allen and Paul Pierce convinced him into it and then ended up staying there, loving the culture of Boston, Boston sports, the legacy of the Celtics, the history, the banners, etc. And the weather wasn't worse than Minnesota. Ainge can roll those dice. I mean, maybe. Who's to say Anthony Davis doesn't fall in love with Boston and the Celtics' legacy and that thing the way that Kevin Garnett did? I mean, let's face it. They could trade for Anthony Davis, and AD with that team might go on a run to the NBA Finals like Kawhi. And maybe if you go to the NBA Finals or you win a championship, suddenly you go, I'm a hero here. This is awesome. I'm really happy. I'm going to re-sign and stay. So it is a big gamble for Ainge. It's a huge gamble. But in many ways, it's a calculated risk that you kind of have to take because you're not going to get Anthony Davis free agent-wise. You're not going to get a guy of that caliber. Can the Celtics steal him from the Lakers? I think they can because they have a lot of good assets, especially if they want to trade away a guy like Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, plus the draft picks that they have. There's a lot of assets there that would be very enticing for the Pelicans. And if the Pelicans don't care, don't care whether AD leaves a year from now or not to wherever they trade him, so be it. But is Danny Ainge going to go the extra mile if AD's camp keeps saying, we don't want to be there? We don't want to be there. AD doesn't want to be there. Do you still go the extra mile? And I think the answer to that is only in Danny Ainge's heart. How desperate is he for a title? Because let's face it, this team is good without Kyrie Irving, but it ain't a championship team. It's just not. Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, one of those two would have to turn into a Kawhi Leonard type of player. And Jason Tatum, maybe he was in the tank because of Kyrie last year, but he'd have to make a remarkable jump. And I don't think Jaylen Brown can do that offensively. I mean, this is a good Celtics team without Kyrie, but as presently constituted, they ain't winning the East, and they certainly ain't winning the NBA Finals. What goes undersold, I believe, in the success of the city of Boston is that there's mounting pressure, especially on the Celtics, to win a championship. Because they've been good. They've been close since 08, but they haven't finished. The Patriots have stacked 6 championships and 9 total Super Bowls appearances. The Red Sox now have 4 championships. They're hosting parades. They're having ring ceremonies. They're having the moment, their moment. And even the Bruins have now been to three Stanley Cup finals in 8 years. I mean, even the Bruins, who were the ugly stepchild of the city for a long time. The Celtics have one ring since Danny Ainge took over. And for most cities, that'd be great. We got one ring. Yeah, that's now a long time ago. That's 11 years ago. And there's only one other NBA Finals appearance in there. A loss to the Lakers. You know, for all of the work that Danny Ainge has done, and for all of the, he's such a brilliant basketball mind, the Celtics have been the least successful franchise in Boston now since this run has started. It's crazy, but they're not in three NBA Finals in the last 8 years. How desperate is Danny to throw in the extra piece that the Lakers can't, even if he's only got him for 1 year? It's only an answer that Danny Ainge has. I think he's getting desperate. That's personally what I think. I think he is stockpiled for this offseason to try to get AD, because he knows he's got to win and win soon, because his ownership with Grosbeck and company, they don't like being the least successful ownership of the four major sports in Boston. It's a big you-know-what competition in Boston between the ownerships. I don't know if the Jacobs family necessarily does this, but you don't think Kraft and the Red Sox ownership, John Henry and company, and Wick Grosbeck all get along to these hoity-toity meetings and outings and ceremonies and celebrations? And you don't think Wick and company hates the fact that they got one ring and all these other guys have four or six and have all these appearances in finals or World Series or Super Bowls? Yeah, it burns them. And I think there's pressure for Danny to deliver. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Celtics go the extra mile this offseason to get AD and get him away from LA, where he wants to go, where he would prefer. Because they'll take the risk of, even if he's only here a year, if we win a title, who cares? We got to get him. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. Sean tweets, do you think the reason that Boston can't get a tier one free agent is due to its reputation for racism and bigotry? You know, I can't answer that. I lived in Boston for 4 years. I've had family that have attended colleges in Boston. I've visited Boston for a long time. I feel like I have a pretty intimate knowledge of Boston. In Boston, there can be racism. That's obvious. That's evident. And the history of racism is thicker there than a lot of other cities in America. But I never walked the streets, and granted, I'm a white guy, but I never talked to friends, colleagues, hosted shows, took phone calls, met people at bars, met people out at remotes. I never got the sense that, oh yeah, this place is really racist. I never got that sense. And again, maybe I can't feel it because of my race. Totally possible. But I think what ends up happening is, my psychologist's view on Boston as a sports town and as a city, it is the most intense city in America. Everything is the most intense. When they win a championship, it's so much more intense than any other city. When they lose a game, it's way more intense. When there's an election or a controversy or a murder or a scandal or a story or a movie about them, it doesn't matter what it is. It is the most intense, scrutinized place ever in terms of just how they view themselves. And I think that makes for the extreme in anything. I've never seen a place that is that great charity-wise. I mean, seriously great. Like, everybody is constantly discussing charitable stuff and children's hospitals and community endeavors and helping out others. It's intense how that is. It is a hardcore, tight-knit city community. It's really intense. And that's the great side of it. I mean, the passion for my show was so intense, it was startling at times. I wasn't from there. And it was intense loyalty. But then the flip side was, if they hated you, and I certainly got my fair share of criticism for being a New Yorker in Boston, the criticism was the most intense I've ever faced and still face. I still hear it. And I haven't been there for 7 years, nearly 8 years. And when it gets ugly there, it's uglier than any other place. So I think this piece of racism in Boston happens because the racists that are there are more intense than anywhere else, and the great people there are more intense than anywhere else. But oftentimes, you know, you see something ugly and you can't shake it. I'm sure it's better than it was. I'm sure. But does an element of that exist? Probably. 855-212-4CBS. When we come back here on the show, the David Ortiz story just keeps getting weirder. Wait till you hear the nicknames involved in those that were hired to carry out the hit. And the verbiage used to describe this attempted hit by local authorities. It's crazy. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
You know, I was in a bikini contest.
Oh, really?
On Howard Stern.
Did you win?
I've been on... No.
Ah, that's a shame.
No, it was for... I was like 17. And...
Interesting.
It was for a breast implant.
So you were trying to win breast implants?
Was that? I wanted breast implants at 17.
Download the PGP today on iTunes and play.it or listen at daoncbs.com and the show's Facebook page, Zap Zap.
She's a bad girl, David.
Check out the PGP. A one-on-one deep dive into what makes Hurricane Jen, Hurricane Jen. And Mraz lived to tell about it. Larry tweets, DA, it's frustrating to hear that you think that racism could be a reason Boston can't draw basketball free agents. The Celtics are the most progressive team in terms of race historically. First NBA team to have an African-American player and an African-American coach, Bill Russell. Yeah, you know, like I said, I don't know because I haven't been privy to those types of conversations. I think more than that, I think Boston has a reputation for being really hard on players. And it's not just black. It could be white. It could be Latino. If you go there and you fail, they are relentless. Far more to me than any other city. And that includes Philadelphia. Philadelphia would be a close second. But I think because of the winning now in Boston, there is such an expectation that you deliver championships. So, you know, ask Jim Rice, but also ask Carl Crawford and ask Adrian Gonzalez and ask Adalius Thomas and ask all types of players that have come there and not delivered what they thought. And it's really hard. And I think that might scare away people going, what? I need the media, and the media can be vicious. I need that in my life. Like, do you think that maybe Manny Machado caught enough flack in Baltimore and said, yeah, this San Diego thing seems nice? That has to be part of the equation. The weather's amazing. The money was great. They've got a good young nucleus and farm system, but there's got to be part of it where you're like, I've been hammered for a long time, or I don't want to be hammered for a long time. So let me go to a place that's a little softer and kinder. And the players and the agents know those places because they talk about it with other players and other agents. This David Ortiz story couldn't get any weirder. I mean, really, it could not get any weirder. As we told you yesterday, there are now reports that the American media is still not touching, but the Dominican media and the British media are touching, which is reportedly David Ortiz was dating a drug lord's wife. David Ortiz is married. He's the father of three. But apparently, according to these reports, have been dating or had a mistress with the wife of a drug lord. And that the drug lord threatened him a number of times, or at least those close to David Ortiz said, get out of this. Don't do this. It's not worth it. And finally, the drug lord said, we got a hit coming. And that Big Papi had apparently thought that he would be immune to the hit because he'd be protected in the streets because he's such an icon there. Well, he was protected in some ways. They beat the living snot out of the guy that tried to kill him, but it doesn't prevent the bullet from going inside the body. So David Ortiz is now trying to recover, and we find out the number was approximately $8,000 to execute the hit. That seems like a really good rate for the buyer. I mean, if you're a drug lord and all it costs is $8,000 to carry out a hit, that feels like a really discount rate. Now, I don't know if this has something to do with like technology now where Ubers have brought down the prices of cabs, Airbnb brought down the prices of hotels, but maybe there's a lot of competition in the Dominican for hitmen, and maybe there's some type of Airbnb that you can just order online on an app, the hitman. But I think that $8,000 to wipe out Papi is really cheap. It's a really good rate. I mean, this guy could end up getting killed for what he did, just beaten until he dies, or jailed for life, or executed. And for $8,000, you take on that job?
No, again, it's more pesos, but still, that seems cheap for a big, as you say, to take him out.
Yeah, it's 400,000 Dominican pesos, which is about $7,800.
Look, here's the thing. We've all seen movies. Hopefully, we're never in a real-life situation when we're asked to be hitmen. I don't think any of us would be able to take care of that.
I don't think that not only could we take care of it, I don't think we would ever be asked. We're not hitmen type.
Well, I agree. I maybe that's something you're born into. I don't think we come from the lineage of hitmen. No offense to Papa Mendo, Papa Bellotti. You know the deal.
Well, and I think that if somebody came to us to execute a hit, I think we would laugh and say, you can't be serious. And then they would say, oh, we got the wrong guys.
Right. Absolutely. Now, that being said, the risk reward here is what we're talking about, because you could either be killed yourself, go to prison the rest of your life, face any kind of punishment, all that for what amounts to, what, 8 flat screens? I mean, that's what we're thinking about here.
I mean, $7,800, it wouldn't even get you inside Oracle tonight.
No. You got to be better than that. My price goes way up.
Yeah. My price is way higher than $7,800 to rub out, especially David Ortiz. Now, let me give you some nicknames here, because there are other suspects still at large. One of which is named Luis Alfredo Rivas Clase, a.k.a. The Surgeon. How do you think a hitman or a suspect in a hit gets the nickname The Surgeon?
See, I was thinking he's the one that you take the body to after the hit to get rid of things.
Okay.
He's cutting things up for for burial and whatnot.
Dismemberment.
Yeah.
Possibly he's the guy that harvests the organs.
Oh, he's the guy that leaves you in the bathtub on a bed of ice without kidneys?
Perhaps.
Okay.
But I mean, if you've got somebody part of a hit in the Dominican called The Surgeon.
Right.
He doesn't have a degree.
He's good with a scalpel.
By the way, are we on in the Dominican? Should we be careful how we discuss these things?
I don't think we're on an affiliate, but you can get us at radio.com on all the resorts.
Oh, okay, fine.
SiriusXM as well.
A woman is also a suspect at large right now, nicknamed the Venezuelan or Red.
Red means blood. I'm out. I'm away from her.
Also, the Venezuelan, you know what happens to Venezuela? It's the only place more dangerous than the Dominican.
Yeah. I mean, this story really is amazing.
It's amazing. There are two people involved in this hit on David Ortiz named the Surgeon and the Venezuelan or Red. And there's a woman involved in this that's not the mistress.
Does that make her more attractive?
Well,
I mean, I took Red as meaning that she has like red hair. And
no,
then she's like,
no, she sees red.
No, no. Mm. Or she wears red dresses, which is kind of like I lure you into my trap, but then I kill you.
Like a bull sees red. I don't know. But I do think that might make her more attractive.
The nickname or the air of danger?
I think both. I think the nickname comes with the air of danger.
What's that?
I think the nickname comes with an air of danger. Plus, you know, a woman that's a lot obviously tougher and more dangerous than you, I think, would be a good thing.
Yeah.
That means, like, you know, if a waiter gives you bad service, deal with red and the Venezuelan here.
And I'll tell you what, red probably, her rate of assassination is even less because she probably enjoys doing it.
Oh, yeah.
So you like that. So this is kind of like you like that big boy chicken pesto lady.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you like assassins and those that eat chicken pesto heroes.
Yeah, I'm afraid to even give a middle finger if somebody cuts me off on the highway. If I got the Venezuelan next to me, you know what? I'm speeding up. You handle it, sweetheart. Give me that.
You like that big boy.
That's how the Venezuelan speaks.
Yeah.
You know
and she
that.
Does it for free. Like you sort of discuss price. She goes, no.
Yeah.
I do it for the sports.
That's exactly right. I do it for the love of the game.
She's a big game hunter.
She probably speaks like the woman that plays Puss in Boots.
Let me also read to you what the chief prosecutor said about this.
Have you seen him, by the way?
I have not seen him.
He's got cords and badges and those big things on his shoulders. I mean, again, this is all shy of a person being shot and almost dying. This story is amazing.
It really is. It's like a telenovela.
Yeah.
It's like you're watching Univision and this is a daytime soap that I don't understand anything that's going on, but I'm watching it anyway because it's so incredible. So with the other suspects being pursued, and the thought that we can't let these guys get away. Here's what the chief prosecutor, Jean-Alain Rodriguez, said. Quote, and I don't know if this he said this in English or this was translated because I've never heard anybody speak like this, let alone a prosecutor. Quote, nobody involved in this lamentable episode will remain in impunity, not even the material or intellectual author. Now, if a prosecutor in the DR is describing a drug lord that is basically saying, go kill Big Poppy for me, as the intellectual author of the crime, this is incredible. I mean, I don't know if this is just a really ridiculous translation of Spanish, but have you ever heard a prosecutor in front of a microphone say, lamentable episode? Intellectual author of the crime, meaning, you know, whoever brainstormed it? No way! No way! This has everything. Everything! Honestly, I really think that this is going to be like an ongoing saga for Univision, right? They have to buy the rights to this and just have this as the daytime soap. Everything about this is amazing.
I'm going to go with that's a bad translation.
Okay.
That's just somebody who knows textbook Spanish, but not like how it's spoken day to day, and is just translating word for word because no one in any language talks like that.
Nobody in this lamentable episode will remain in impunity, not even the material or intellectual author. And this is the quote picked up by ESPN.com.
Yeah, by the AP.
Come on!
The guy I was referencing, by the way, is from the National Police. I mean, you can see my computer. This is him and is like, he's like an Eagle Scout.
This is amazing. This is amazing.
He's a bad guy from Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
He looks like Manuel Noriega trying to dress up as a general.
Yep.
This whole thing is just amazing. By the way, did Poppy ever do the Good Luck Bruins last night? Do we know if he did it from the hospital bed?
I don't believe that ever came. I think there's too many armed guards outside his hospital.
Big Poppy, watch out.
Somebody said it was happening, and then it never did.
So Bruins.com couldn't get in there.
No, they had the list of people in the AP story ended with, and portable party, Rob Gronkowski, which is a great description. Portable party. But yeah, he was there. There were some other Patriots, famous people, but no David Ortiz.
Big Poppy.
Just amazing. Everything about it is amazing. Everything. When we come back here on the show, Nick Van Exel discovers iced coffee. It's part of Soundcheck. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The VA show is available in podcast form. If you miss anything or want to hear it again, simply go to iTunes or head over to radio.com and full episodes are available there. For your listening pleasure, if you miss anything or want to hear it again, also you can go on our website. If you don't do the podcast thing, that's cbssportsradio.com. Click on the DA show tab. And our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico this morning. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. Dixieland Dan tweets, $8,000 to carry out a hit on Big Poppy. You think I could pay someone $1,000 or so and have them kidnap Huge Freeze and all of his drops in the computer system, take them to the doctor and make them stay there so that we never have to hear him again? Asking for a friend.
Calling Gloria. Gloria.
Larry tweets, the only thing Hitman Mraz could put a hit on, a Chipotle burrito.
I'll drop dead. I will drop dead without those burritos.
Gabriel tweets, huge difference between the Dominican cartel and Mexican cartel. If David Ortiz was sleeping with El Chapo's wife, he would have never been threatened. He would have just disappeared with no warning. Whatever drug lord is out to get David Ortiz, he cannot be happy. He called in an order, and the order did not get delivered. Drug lord cannot be happy on that front.
In 10 minutes or less.
The drug lord's seamless order never got delivered, and he's not happy with it.
No tip given.
Let's get to your best audio of the day. It's time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Steve Kerr addressed the media yesterday on whether Kevin Durant would have been allowed to play had they known what was at risk.
Had we known that this was a possibility, that this was even in the realm of possibility, there's no way we ever would have allowed Kevin to come back. So it's devastating.
Well, I would say for the Warriors, I wonder what the stain on this is long term. Because when you lose a player of this caliber, this way, it sticks with you. It sticks with your training staff. It sticks with your coaching staff. It sticks with your front office. And it sticks with how your decisions are made. And I wonder if it sticks with the players that are in that locker room. If you've noticed over the last 48 hours, I have avoided the blame game because I know that's been a popular parlor game for sports media in the aftermath of the KD injury. I don't think it's responsible to troll those waters, and I'll tell you why. The reason that it happened is because we have so little information about Kevin Durant's injury, and in a void of information, it forces people to scramble for takes. We don't know if Kevin Durant wanted to come back and pushed for it. We don't know if he felt pressure internally. We don't know what the doctors had said. We don't know if it really was a calf injury all the time. We don't know the extent to which he practiced. We don't know how he felt because KD hasn't spoken and the entire thing has been shrouded in mystery, including the calf injury. And so when you lose Kevin Durant like that in a dramatic injury, it's a void of information that needs to be filled up with some opinions in Takeville, USA these days. And so Takeville becomes, well, who to blame? Who to blame? I don't know. I'm going to be very honest. I don't know who to blame because we don't have that information yet. Can you? What happens if Kevin Durant said, you know what? The doctors wanted me not to play, but I said, I've got to be there for my brothers. Or I may never get to another NBA Finals again, so I have to play. And I bulldozed everybody else. Well, that would change who gets blame. If Kevin Durant says, I was always hesitant. I really didn't feel like I should go, but the doctors insisted I could not re-injure it, or the worst that could happen is re-injuring my calf, and it was going to be another six-week process. Well, then we have other blame to go to the doctor. If he said, I was feeling pressure inside my locker room because other guys were playing hurt, and they were kind of saying, hey, you're going to come back, well, then we have other blame. But without that, it's impossible to cast blame responsibly. So I'm not going to do it. What I will say is that this type of thing might be a black stain on this dynasty that doesn't go away for a long time. Where, again, they have to become super safe with injuries and players become super paranoid about injuries or skeptical about what the doctors say. Or the front office becomes incredibly conservative with signing injury-prone guys and all of this, because what just happened was the worst-case scenario ever for your team when it comes to an injury. I guess unless, you know, it's Greg Oden's foot falling off. But in terms of having a superstar in the NBA Finals, pushing it back too soon, etc., this is worst-case scenario. Juju Smith-Schuster on if he hates Antonio Brown.
I like them as a role model, and that situation, you know, I didn't want to end like that. I have no harsh feelings against him. Obviously, if we're ever in the same room, I'm going to say what's up to him. I think hatred is a huge word to use against somebody. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, he's a great player. You know, he comes out every day. He's worked ethic. He worked hard. But other than that, no, I don't have anything towards him or anything like that.
You know, why would you hate Antonio Brown? Because he resented you winning the MVP of the team? I mean, for what, a couple of stupid, dopey Instagram messages?
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
I mean, there's no reason to hate Antonio Brown. I mean, there's a sports hate, I'm sure, for Steelers fans. But it's a sports hate. It's not a real hate. But asking Juju whether he hates Antonio Brown to me is a stupid question. What's he going to say? Yeah, I really hate him. Yep. I hope that, you know, his knee blows out, and I hope that he ends up getting shot in a slingshot to the moon. I really hate him. If I ever see him in the street, I'm going to punch him in the face. I'm going to carry out a hit on him. Finally, Nick Van Exel, former guard in the NBA, took to Twitter to say that he had just discovered iced coffee and it's the best thing ever. And people said, you just discovered iced coffee? Like, what were you, if you're a coffee drinker, what were you drinking beforehand? He says, I wasn't really a coffee drinker, but where was this all my life? And Nick Van Exel even called out his family and friends. Hey, why didn't you guys tell me about iced coffee? He then went on Instagram to call out the people that hid this precious jewel from him forever.
Yo, what's up? What's up? I'm a little iced coffee this morning. Just want to let everybody know, all my Twitter followers, everybody that's in my phone, my friends, my family. Real disappointed in y'all that y'all didn't let me know about iced coffee before. So real disappointed. But since it tastes so good, I'll forget y'all. Peace.
Nice. Really nice.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
So that's Nick Van Exel's contribution to Instagram. Upset at friends and family and everybody in his phone for not telling him about iced coffee. Now, Nick Van Exel played in the NBA for 13 years. He's been an assistant coach around basketball for the last, let's say, 7 years or 8 years. He is 47 years old. Is it, at this point, our responsibility, if we know Nick Van Exel, to tell him about iced coffee? I mean, I feel like you've already passed the date on that.
No, I'm like, honestly, where have you been, dude? Have you been in prison for 20 years? Like, what? Iced coffee? I saw my mother drinking iced coffee when I was in middle school, at least. I'm 32 years old. There had to have been iced coffee around in some of the team meeting rooms when he was still playing. What are you doing with your life, dude?
What's up?
And now they've even advanced iced coffee to the point they actually do cold brew. I don't even like coffee, and I know that. They used to just brew it hot, pour it on ice. Now they will actually brew it the cold brew style. What are you doing with your life?
I'm not a coffee drinker. My family is. My wife is. They all love coffee. I don't drink it. I just don't really like the taste of it, and I'm already wired enough to where I don't need a piping hot thing of caffeine flowing through my veins or my head's going to explode. But number one, I've tasted coffee. I've wanted to see if I would like it. Number two, I've had coffee ice cream. I've certainly had coffee-flavored jelly beans or coffee-flavored chocolate or candy or coffee-flavored ice cream in a million different ways. And so that would be the first test of, like, do I like the taste of coffee? And if so, when it's really hot, then you would go the iced coffee route. Also, everyone on the street all the time is carrying iced coffee. Wouldn't you be naturally curious to see what is that brown liquid on ice that you're carrying? Is that hot chocolate, but just cool down to that Yoo-hoo that you're drinking?
Yeah, what do you think? People are drinking mud on ice? It was some more of those crazy bubble teas we see everywhere. Nick, wake up!
He lived and played for the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Warriors, and the Spurs. These are hot climates. You're telling me in the summer he never saw anybody drinking iced coffee?
He never tripped and fell into a Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donuts along his travels? I mean, the cups are everywhere. I mean, jeez Louise, Nick. I can't believe it's almost like he's trying to pull one over. This is honestly some psychopathic material here to not be aware of iced coffee.
Psychopathic.
Psychopathic?
This is a psychopath.
Yes. This might be worse than putting a hit on with the red woman.
Not knowing that iced coffee exists.
Yes, because you have to almost have been living like that movie with Brandon Graham or whatever his name was where they were like...
The defensive tackle?
Yeah, well, I don't know, whatever his name was. Brandon Stevens, they're hiding and they come out and it's 40 years later out of the bomb shelter. That's what it reminds me of.
We're singing Gloria next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.